Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. There's a few missing this evening, but the Lord bless those that came out. And it's good to come to hear the word of God. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. And we're reading from chapter 11 tonight. And we're just continuing on. I don't really want to say part two or three or anything like that. I just want to just continue on with it, whatever way the Lord leads it. We want to read from verse 1 of 1 Samuel 11. This is a real strange things in these verses tonight. What I want to bring out, and just trust the Lord to bless His word. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Naboth the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. Then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Jabiah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of all the people, and the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed it in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezeth, and I mightn't pronounce these names right, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow will we come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Amorites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left out together. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said shall Saul reign over us, bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for the day the Lord have wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Praise God. Let us pray again for a word of prayer this evening as we look at and call it the courageous Saul. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in Jesus' precious name. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We ask you'll sanctify us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, and every wrong deed tonight in Jesus' precious name. Every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit this evening, and I do take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me right now, and I thank you that you will. Lord, we see Israel tonight in camp with bombs and all sorts of stuff, but we pray you'll send a mighty host of angels from heaven and protect them and preserve them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And bless each one in this room tonight and those that couldn't be here. Bless the mothers, the fathers, the children. Save all of our children, we pray. And touch those that need your miracle touch in Jesus Christ's name. And bless all that would tune in and listen to the services. Just bless them and meet their every need. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a wee phrase from an old preacher years ago, "Blessed are those who die for God and earn the martyr's crown of light, yet he who lives for God may be greater conqueror in his sight." I tell you, Saul here was moved of God and he was angered. And I really thought about this, where someone's moved of God and they're angry. And the Bible talks of a righteous indignation, doesn't it? Praise God. Though Saul had already been declared king in chapter 10, verse 24, 1 Samuel, he had seemingly gone back to his old occupation. Though he'd been king, he'd went back to his old occupation. He was tending the herd. And the news came to him in verse 5 while he was tending the herd. And this itself was a notable proof of the dignity and strength of Saul's personality and of Saul's moral character. Even though he was king, he still went back to tending the herd. He didn't have to do it. And I tell you, you see, some people, when they get promoted, they think they are something and everybody else is nothing. But here Saul's shown a smallness still in his own eyes, what we mentioned the other week, and a humility. Even though he's anointed king, he still went back to the herd. But he had kept this, the eyes on them, and he would have reckoned, you know, this promotion, many a one would have lifted up, but it didn't lift him up. And those of us who are conscious, you know, when God calls a man, he has to be conscious to stay small in his own eyes, no matter how big God uses him. Amen. He that believeth shall not make haste. And in this chapter before us, you could think of Paul the Apostle as well. And Paul the Apostle, we know, had a great miracle ministry in Acts 18, verse 3. Here's what it says. "And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." So Paul the Apostle, even though he was a great apostle, was a tent maker. Only reason I'm bringing this out is to let you see. Saul was made king, but he was still herding the sheep. And a lot of people in the world today say, "That fella's meant to be a preacher. But I seen him working for somebody here or somebody there." But here they were saying the same about Paul. Paul still mended the tents, and yet he was a mighty apostle. So mighty that the Bible says special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. And here is the courageous Saul. And that's what I'm calling him tonight. The courageous Saul. And this courageous Saul's anointed king. He didn't have to do no more thing if he's anointed king. But he still continued on with the small things. And the Bible says if we're faithful in the small things, God will reward us in the big things. You see, I noticed this today with a lot of Christianity. There's Christians today and they want to flock after the thing that's big. And the crowd seems to draw them. But because it's big doesn't mean God's in it. God could be in the small thing that nobody flocks to, but God could be in it. And I tell you, God wants us to where we ought to be and where he wants us, no matter if it's big or small. And if we're faithful in the small, then the big can come. Let's hear a message here in verse 1 to 4. It's a sorrowful message. The messengers came to Gibeah and told how the city of Jebus was besieged and that Naboth the Ammonite would make a covenant with them only on the condition that he may thrust out the right eye for a reproach upon Israel. No wonder the people wept with such humility, as this was a barbaric act that they wanted to commit upon them. This was sad tidings, no doubt. But you see, the people of God, that's like the devil tonight, isn't it? He wants to put out our spiritual eye. He'll make a pact with you if he can put out your spiritual eye. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but this is the same with a lot of Christians today. A lot of Christians today are willing to let truth go. Their spiritual eye seems to be put out, and they're willing to compromise that. In spite of knowing it's wrong, they turn a blind eye to it because their spiritual eye's been put out. But Saul here's not turning a blind eye or wanting his eye put out. The Spirit of God's moved on him. So that tells us the people that the Spirit of God moves on won't go blind, but they're going to have sight. But the ones that let the eye get put out will go blind anyhow. And then fulfilling the scripture, the blind leads the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. We want eyesight tonight. Such compromising was contrary to the word of God. And Ezekiel 23 verse 32, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. And here these enemies of God's people want them to make a covenant with them. And when they make the covenant, they're going to blind them. And the devil and the world promises plenty, but there's a price to be paid. The wages of sin's death. That's the price to be paid for the man or woman that doesn't have Jesus Christ. And for the Christian that's willing to compromise and have an eye put out and go back spiritually blind when he knows the truth that God's revealed in the last days and turn it down, he's spiritually blind. There's no question about it. If they deny the word of God, they're spiritually blind. And they've entered into covenant, many people today, like these people, but thank God for Saul, the courageous Saul. Amen. You see, the enemy of our souls on the world, you see, is still ready to make covenant with us if we're willing to part with our spiritual eyesight. Revelation 3, verse 18 says this, and I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It's not the Spirit of God's leading or guiding to blind us, but it is the Spirit of God's leading and guiding to give us better eyesight and give us eye salve. Eye salve helps your eyes. Eye salve dampens and nourishes the eyes. It's good for them, and it'll do you the power good, and we need eye salve, spiritual eye salve. But the devil does not want God's people to have spiritual eyes out. He wants to blind them. He wants to make them naked. And he wants to make them poor. But God wants to bless us and give us good eyes spiritually and physically and help us in every way. Not the word of God. And I tell you here, where Saul here is moved by the Spirit of God and he's angry. And there's sometimes we need backbone in us. Sometimes we have to stand up for what we really believe. God doesn't always want us to go about like pansies, that we just bend over to anything. But sometimes we have to stand for what we really believe and say, no, I don't accept that. And we need to have the courage like the courageous Saul had here and believe the truth. There's also the divine call here in verse 5 and 6. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was greatly kindled. Isn't that wonderful? Greatly kindled. I went to God tonight that we'd be greatly kindled with the Holy Spirit. I went to God tonight we'd be greatly filled with the Holy Spirit. The church in general needs a move of God. And we're not the only fellowship where it's hard to get people to attend all the services. It's worldwide. It's everywhere. Because people is lukewarm. Let's just tell them how it is. No point saying anything different. The devil has supplied the excuses on a wee way here and a way there that he can take them away when they shall be at the hands of God because his desire is to blind them. And he'll use anything he can to blind people. And here he says, enter into a covenant. And they were desperate. They were desperate. And they wept. And I tell you, we need sometimes to turn on to the Lord and weep, don't we? Weep before the Lord. Tears may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians tells us here in Ephesians 4 verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's a righteous anger. Did you know that? I'm not talking about the anger what the world has where they kill people. That's not the anger I'm talking about. There's a righteous anger. There's a Bible anger. And it's a righteous anger. And the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And I tell you, Saul was angry and he was kindled. And God moved him. Hallelujah. Now there's a difference in the manifestations but it's the same Spirit. Isn't that what Corinthians teaches us? There's different of manifestations and ministrations, but it is the same Spirit. Wigglesworth's ministry, there's another fellow couldn't come and do the things that man done. It wouldn't work out. Because if he did it in that way, he'd kill somebody for sure. But Wigglesworth didn't kill them. They came alive. And that's exactly how it is. You can have a Norway man like T.L. Osborne that just preach a simple healing message and declare it and pray from the platform, never laid hands on nobody. And multitudes were healed just like that. That's the way God worked with. But the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. And we don't mind what way God wants to do it, as long as it's the real, genuine Holy Spirit. Amen. There's different gifts and administrations, but the same Spirit. The source of his anger was doubtless the reproach threatened to Israel in verse 2 here in a reading tonight, Ton. Does the call of God not frequently come by the awakening in the soul of, you know, that's not how it comes. God awakens somebody. He awakens them. And, you know, there has to be a desire for the Lord. And many times it's when the devil has a real grip on us. The devil could have a real hold on somebody. And that's when God can move in and deliver them. And these people of Israel, the enemy had a grip on them, and the enemy was trying to blind them. But God had a man called Courageous Saul. And he had different ideas because the Holy Spirit gave him a different idea. And the idea he had was God's idea. So it was more than an idea, it was a manifestation. Amen. You see, you could look here at Gideon and Jephthah and... You know, I don't want to go all into about Jephthah, where he made a vow and he slew his own daughter. Because he made the vow and he said, I will slay whoever I meet. And the first one he met, God gave him a victory over the battle. And the one that he met was his one and only daughter. And he slew her. Now she had 2 months to bewail on the mountains. You know all the story. I won't go into this in Judges 11, 29 to 40. But I won't go into it tonight. But then you have Gideon. But the Gideon, Judges 6 verse 34 says this, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet and Abiezer was gathered after him. I tell you, God gave Gideon the victory and he blew a trumpet. And this other man here, Jephthah, he also, God gave him a victory, and you can read it in verse 29, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh and goes right on down all these different names. But he made the vow and God gave him the victory. But the vow, what he made, was a terrible thing what happened, wasn't it? So we had to watch what we're doing and not be too quick. Amen. That's the story they tell about the Irishman. They say the Irishman jumps and he looks. But anybody else looks before the jump. It's like the fella, he made his own lunch every day and he said, if I get that in my lunch tomorrow, I'm going to jump on the top of that building. And he jumped off it. And the other boy says, I'm surprised that he jumped off because he makes his own lunch every day. But I'll tell you, God doesn't want us to be too hasty. But God does want us to be stirred. He wants us to go out knowing how we're going out. In the anointing of God, in the power of God, with a Holy Ghost kindled anger, a righteous anger, and smite the enemy. And God doesn't want to blind you tonight. He wants your eyes to be open. And he wants to give you eye salve that you can see even better and even more. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. In Judges 14 verse 6 also, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And I'll tell you, there's so many examples here. Samson. So many examples where the Spirit of God came in man that you can look at. And Saul's here, and you have to bring Saul in with him. And I know people say bad things about Saul, and maybe there will be things later on when he doesn't do right. But I'm not worried about that tonight. I'm taking it as it comes. And I'm telling you that he was led by the Spirit here. And he was moved by the Spirit of God. And he went out in an anger. And I tell you, he fixed them, didn't he? He put the fear in them. When the oxen and the carts were smashed up and tore apart and sent out all over the land, they put fear in them. Put the fear in the enemy. And I tell you tonight, God can put fear in our enemy. God can put fear in your enemy. And I tell you, God can put fear in the enemies of Israel. And I tell you, God can do it. You see, fearless challenge. That's what he had. The verse 7 here. The hewing of the yoke of oxen, the sending of the gory pieces throughout all of Israel was like the blast of a trumpet from heaven on a drowsy nation. And I tell you, someone, we need something sent from heaven on a drowsy bunch, don't we?
Yes.
Not the truth. I'll tell you, we need a bit of this here, spiritualized for the day, that God would waken people up to reality. And people's too busy with their own affairs to worry about God's affairs. But they don't realize this war in Israel and these wars that's taking place is signs that Jesus is coming again. Israel's our time clock. That's why we're to watch them. And the Lord's coming again for his people very soon. And I tell you, when the Lord comes and catches waiting bride away, tribulation setting in. And it's going to be a terrible time. And we need to work while we can. Jesus told us we can't work with us night. We need to work with us day. And we heard the other Sunday past, the fields are already white. There's no point saying we'll wait for this or that. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation, the word of God says. We want to do it now. We want to serve the Lord now. I'm not getting any younger. The years is ticking. But I want to serve him now. Amen. No matter where we are, we want to serve him. When a man is acting under the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit, you're always assured of signs following it. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that all my heart. And I tell you, Saul was acting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and there certainly was signs following. And all these men in the Bible, when they acted under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the signs follow. And Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. God's man is never wanting. When the national crisis comes, you'll not have to look for God's man. He'll come on the scene. I'll tell you that now. God always has a man. God always has a people. You know, it was so in the days of Luther and Knox. The days of Martin Luther, the days of Knox, God had a man. When there seemed to be no man, God raised a man out of pitch black darkness. And God raised him up in one scripture. Think of that. And one scripture, what God was able to do to shake a nation and shake a world and give us the word of God that we have so proudly tonight, that we love it and we display it and we thank God for every bit of it. And Knox, Tyndale, and all these wonderful men of God, many of them burned at the stake for what they believed. God always has a man. Cometh the hour, cometh the man, cometh Almighty God. And I tell you, when it seems at its darkest, that's when God can move on the scene. Fearlessness. I tell you, isn't it? And I tell you, Saul here, the fearless character. And I tell you, the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit can change men and women that's full of fear. You know, when you look in the book of Acts, they were afraid. They hid themselves away in a wee prayer room. And they were praying and they were afraid. Jesus was gone. Jesus was crucified. Jesus went back to heaven, but it appeared to them before. And he told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And they waited to full of fear. But suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were. And cloven tongues of fire rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I tell you, boldness come on them. A boldness. Men that would have hidden under the pulpit here were up on top of it. There were no more fear, but boldness. They went out onto the streets, and they went into the cities, and they got beat, and they got whipped, and some of them got crucified upside down, and they didn't care. They had a courageous fear. They were like the courageous Saul. Hallelujah. Them disciples of the Lord. For the Holy Ghost done it. That's why we need to be preaching more about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. I'll tell you something, you'll not have to ask to think, does that fellow got it? If you're with him long enough and he really has it, you'll know it. Amen? And I tell you, they knew it. They knew these men were real. They had a courageousness about them, like Saul had. And they went about in the word afraid. I'll tell you what there was here. great deliverance. There was great deliverance. And only the Spirit of God can bring great deliverance. The summons of Saul met with a willing general response. They were willing. There was a response. Now, you know, when you read this verse 8 till 11, and I'm reading tonight, they came out with one consent, for God always works through the Spirit-inspired message. And when God sends a message, there will be a people for it. God won't send a message where there's no people. Even if it's few, there'll still be a people for that message. And Saul has a message, and they receive it. You see, these besieged citizens were on the brink of becoming lifelong reproach to all Israel, weren't they? Verse 2. But being disabled. They were going to be disabled. The enemy wanted to disable them, blind them. He wanted them groping about, didn't he? Disabled for war and bearing in the body the mark of shameful deceit. That's what the enemy wants. But God had different ideas. This spirit moved leader was able to roll away the reproach. What a mighty power for Christ. What a mighty power that Jesus done on the cross. He rolled away the reproach that was in me and you. And not only did he roll away the reproach, but the Spirit-filled life which he had and led. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's what we need today. You see, these men of Jebel Gilead in jeopardy of losing the testimony for Christ and bringing reproach upon the church of God. The sacrifice, everything. And that's what it's really like today, isn't it? The enemy wants to cripple us whatever way he can and kill us and get rid of us. That's the truth. But Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I tell you, Calvary's cross needs to be preached in freshness, and it needs to be preached in the power of God throughout this land. I believe that in every other land where we get a chance to go. We need to preach Christ and the power of the cross. Paul said that I would know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to have to come to close tonight, and I'm excited. I'll tell you that right now. The word of God excites me. 30 years, still excited when I preach, because the word of God's a blessing. You see, there was a magnanimous intervention here. This wasn't an ordinary intervention. There was a magnanimous intervention. This was God moved on his people. But he had a courageous man. And I'm going to have to close. I'm going to have to close the night. Because I want us to pray, and I want to let you go as early as we can. Praise God. We're going to come again on Sunday. The Lord willing, the Lord's always willing. How many tonight would say, I want to be moved like Saul? Wouldn't it be great to be moved like Saul? To have a righteous anger and say to the devil, get back, you stinker. And the devil's a stinker. He's a thief and a robber. He goes about seeking whom he may destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. I'm going to pray for God to bless you tonight. You pray for me. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the word of God. For the word of God is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Well, thank you for the courageous soul. The enemy wanted to bring the people into a false pact, a false covenant, under a false God, under a false regime. Then he wanted to go further and put one of their eyes out. So they were running about half blind, not knowing where they're going. But Lord, when your servant heard about it, your spirit moved him, and it moved him mightily. And him being a big man was moved by the Spirit of God and the strength of the Holy Ghost on that man. Rent the ox and the carts, smashed the whole thing up and send it out for all to see and take fear that God was with Saul, the courageous Saul. Lord, he said, if you don't fear Saul and the prophet Samuel, then you can't come. But Lord, we thank you. There was people that responded. And they took courage. And they took heart. And they weren't blinded. And they didn't have their eye put out. And they weren't led astray. And they didn't go into a false covenant and worship a false God. But they saw again on full display the mighty God himself. Oh, we thank you this evening. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against them. Raise a standard tonight, we pray, in every life and home in this room. Oh God, breathe afresh in your people with the power of the Holy Ghost. Quicken us, we pray. Oh God, let the wind of heaven come upon your people. Move in a mighty way. Save and deliver, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, we pray again for Israel tonight, because the word of God says, bless them and I'll bless you. Lord, we bless them tonight. We pray for the angels of God that campeth on the right and the left, before them and behind them. We're asking for the mighty host of heaven to move on the sea and give them victory again and again. Lord, we pray for our own enemies tonight. Oh God, help us, I pray. Come against the spirit of infirmity. Come against the spirit of fear and anxiety tonight. I rebuke it in Jesus' precious name. And I pray for the spirit of peace and of a sound mind. For you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Lord, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Move on our children, I pray. Save our sons. Save our daughters. Save the aunt, the uncle, the nephew, the niece. Oh God, give household salvation. Bless every man and woman in this room. Bless all those listening in by way of recording tonight. Do them good. Touch them and heal them and deliver them. Save them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Oh God, put fire in our bellies, fire in our bones, fire within us, oh God. Stir our hearts, Lord, like Saul and like I've mentioned already. Do something that will move your people again. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Lord, we're not hiding it. We need a move of God. We need a shaking. We need a revival. We need the wind from heaven to shake the building. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, it says in the New Testament that the place was shaken where they were gathered together. So mighty was the move of the Spirit of God. Lord, loosen the chains and break the fetters, I pray, and set men and women free. Lord, there's too many sick and afflicted. We're asking you for the miracle ministry and the gifts of healing to come amongst your people. Manifest yourself in a greater measure, we pray. Lord, we know you're doing it, but do it more and do it again in Jesus' precious name. And bless and touch your people in the name of the Lord tonight. Father, have your way tonight, the remaining days of thy story. Just help each one of us as we acknowledge you again, knowing you'll direct our paths. Give the right job to those that need it. Bless those, everyone in this house, and have your way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.